You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today on this Friday. Hope you get a chance to do all the things that you want to do this weekend, that you should do, must do, can do, and will do, hoping to the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. You're going to get a break. It ain't going to be hot as hell. So if you want to get a chance to do it, you better do it, because you never know what tomorrow might bring. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Updated, mind you, for sure. Most current programs, and we have a lot of content. So just check it out. This is African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays and Wednesday, Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny. On Thursdays, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Thursdays, from 8 to 10. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Sunday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney, with activist Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan, Sunday from 5 to 6. At 7 p.m., it's once again Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. June 26. Rearing is complex and requires sacrifice and dedication. It is an ongoing process of preparation. Poetess Mari Evans. Europeans are quite aware of the lessons we instill in our children. They know that if you spend a season training two children with the same ability for an athletic competition, and you make one of them wear heavy weights on their legs and arms, but both do exactly the same strenuous daily exercises, the shackled one will win once the weights are removed. Of this, there is no question. This is why they are pushing us to spoil our children. It weakens them, leaving them vulnerable in a world where their parents
exercise little social control and therefore are in no position to save them from the agents of the state in wait for them to act out, to impetuous, foolhardy, and arrogant insolence they learn imitating other children. This was encouraged, believing that subintegration was the way, the only way, to better integrate our children. So we foolishly adopted another's way of raising our children instead of following the strong tradition of producing well-disciplined, thoughtful, and courageous children. I say, affirm, I rear Africans as our elders reared me. Affirm, I rear Africans as my elders reared me. I ain't talking about, you know, whooping kids' ass. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. No, I'm talking about instilling discipline. Discipline is self-imposed order. I hate, and I mean strongly hate, when this society says about discipline, when they mean punishment. Well, they're gonna discipline him. No, they're not. They're gonna punish him. Discipline is self-imposed order. When you instill discipline into the child, as that child develops and grows, he or she, they know seriously what is right and wrong, and they will try their best to honor their parents and foreparents to do what is right, to maintain discipline. When you lack discipline, society imposes order on you. That's why there's so many prisons and detention centers, because many of us in the society lack discipline. Yes. Discipline. In fact, what do they call the studies family? They don't call them punishments, do they? No. The studies, when you go to college and you're given, or university, you're given a syllabus of the things that for that year that you had to study. Those are called disciplines. Disciplines. So you can't be playing bid, whist, or spades all damn time, or going to the parties or getting high. You got to do work. You got to prepare yourself. So 4 years from that point, you get a degree and you go out there and function. Discipline. June 27th. If you are God, then save your own. Don't mentally enslave your own. Outcasts. Being connected to spirit should be the warrior's central focus, because spirit is the source of our greatest strength. We once knew this. We once knew we were nothing less than divinity, and what it possessed, we possessed also proportionately. We once knew our power. We once knew that the penalty for seeking integration into inferior thinking and beings. If you are to return to power, we must again know spirit. We must again know self. We must know who we are historically, culturally. Affirm, I'm using my divine power to save African people. I say, affirm, I'm using my divine power to save African people. On the weekends, of course, we always read 3 of the Inyasa Sim. So June 28th. If you turn your face from violence, who will punish wrongdoing? Every society known to man contains elements of violence. People have always killed, lied to, cheated, and stole from other people, even if by accident. I'm not going to get into a discussion of the idea African society, because ancient societies were human as well. However, with respect to these measures of interpersonal disrespect and violence, our ancestors were not Europeans. I repeat, our ancestors were not Europeans. What distinguishes Western society from others is not the presence of these and similar destructive phenomena, but their magnitude, pervasiveness, and rate of increase. Read their history. Read their history. I was reading an almanac, and everything European history was measured by was violence, was war, conflict. Damn. Not some kind of invention or something that was done to elevate the society, to elevate the people, to bring them to a higher level. It was war. Pick any European nation. Before every major war of Western involvement, there were either massive impoverishment or a major economic depression was in full swing. There has never been a time in the history of the West when there have not been not actively preparing for and or engaging in war against another and or among themselves. Several camps, survival camps, militia groups, gun shows, the list can go on of the evidence of their ongoing military organization. And perhaps, most importantly, what should inform our state of preparedness is that they ever encounter, if you ever encounter Europeans, have had with non-Europeans, has resulted in a violent confrontation. What should we understand and know to be prepared is that every encounter Europeans have had with non-Europeans, it was a violent confrontation. We are dealing with necromongers, deathmongers, necromongers, with peddlers and lovers of death. Affirm, I punish wrongdoing, I say. Affirm, I punish wrongdoing. Yeah. Tell you, you know, the atrocities. Now here, they want to make sure, number one, that Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon is because Israel is right there. We do any and everything for Israel, for the European Jews. These are not the people that you read about in your Bible. These are not the people that conveniently state in your Bible that you as a Christian should support. These are not these people. But because you read it from a Eurocentric perspective, and these people have been on the scene for quite a long time, particularly since 47, when the moves were being made for them to take Palestine through the United States and Britain, the UK, take Palestine from the Palestinians. And now, as you're seeing in real time, right before your eyes, genocide. Now, some of you would say, shouldn't some of these richer Arab countries, aren't they Arabs too? Aren't the Palestinians, you know, same as Kuwaitis, same as, you know, all the other Jordanians and Syrians and da-da-da? Why don't they just take them in? Why don't they just, why don't those countries and just absorb them or find a space, a place for them. So the European Jews can have what they want to have. Yeah, sure. Well, it don't work like that. And you know it. But obviously, too, that the Arab nations, seeing that what is befalling the Palestinians, should come to some kind of understanding and help. Did you see last week, family, where they were about to give them food and the Israelis were gunning the people down, men, women, and children? They're coming to get food and they opened fire on them. This is really despicable. But when you understand America, you know, when you understand America, America does what it does because America can do what it does. Yeah. Gosh, there's so much stuff out here, I tell you. So much. Okay, I have a co-host today. And the only person I say is a co-host, of course, that is Brother Irv Lewis. The Irving Lewis, he is my co-host, and I'm very proud of that fact and very happy with that fact. I called the brother, and he's right on time. I really appreciate him, you know. So I'd like to welcome Brother Irv. Brother Irv.
Baba Uzi, thank you for welcoming me on the show, man. Thank you for having me on.
Always, brother. I appreciate you when I need your help or whatever. Yeah. You're always there. So did you kick ass last night?
Yeah. I did. I did a three-game set. I knocked out 620 pins in three games. So
that's good. That's good. Got a
200 average.
Yeah, that's a good thing, man. Yeah, pretty good. Well, you're playing are you in a scratch league?
No, this is a handicap league. Do play in a scratch league, but this is handicap.
Okay.
I don't get that many pins, but I get more than... I get a few pins because I bowl such a high average. That's right. Pretty much considered a high average.
Right.
You know, but it was fun, man. As long as you're having fun, Baba Oshi.
That's all that counts, brother.
It's a good time.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, Baba Oshi, speaking on what you were talking about, with everything in life, I believe that you have to have balance.
Yes.
In other words, you go too far to the right, too far to the left.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where whether it's the demonic spirit, and I don't necessarily need to call it Satan. You can call it anything you want. You can call it George. You can call it white people. You can call it anything. Black people treat you bad.
Yeah.
You know, but my point is, I think that spirit throws your balance off.
Mm-hmm. Because you do.
The Most High, and again, you can call God whatever you want. You don't have, nobody has to teach you when somebody's doing you wrong or when you're doing wrong. Yeah. I mean, or when somebody's lying to you constantly. You know what I mean? It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out.
Right.
It's something in you it's something that goes off in you. And you go, this guy's pulling my leg. You know, this woman, you, baby, you ain't, that ain't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not your real hair. You know, but I'm just trying to make fun of it because it's such a serious subject, Baba Oshi.
It is.
And because we as a people, and I always go back to the collective, have to educate our children. Mm. And I'm not saying everybody's got to think alike and you all, but we do have to have some core things that we understand that we're not in Africa, but Africa's in us. and that the African way, it was here before all these other things that we got going on, all this, these fighting in Gaza and all that. And then the part that gets me, Baba Oshie, is I watch Al Jazeera news when I do watch news. And Al Jazeera gives a whole different, I mean, they're giving a whole different story than CNN. Saying that people are going to get, understand how they can, how do they do that? How does this particular station see people going to get food from the aid and then getting killed? They have orders to shoot them when they come to get the food.
Yeah.
But CNN won't say that. But then, because this, everything in this, this capitalistic society that we live in is connected. Let's be clear. Everything here is connected. You're just running around here talking about you don't like Donald Trump. You don't like Donald Trump. But, you know, when I looked at Donald Trump's inauguration, what little I did look at, I saw Google sitting behind him. I saw Amazon sitting behind him. I saw Bezos. I saw Zuckerberg. I mean, look, my point is, all these people are connected for your death. Mm-hmm. They're thinking of better ways to kill you.
That's right.
And I didn't mean to jump right into the discussion, but the reality is it bothers me because people who take time, and most of the people who listen to this program are very educated. They're read. They don't believe everything they hear. I believe our listeners are so intelligent that you can BS them for a few minutes and then something in them will go, wait a minute. Let's look at this again.
Right.
Let's look at this again. Because all of a sudden I'm looking at Al Jazeera and the United States has brokered a deal with the Congo and Rwanda. Was it Rwanda? The two that were fighting over in the Congo, the United States has brokered a deal. Now, whenever you hear the United States has went all the way around the world to broker a deal with another country, believe me, they're getting something out of it.
Oh, no doubt about it. They're not doing anything humanitarianly. No, they have serious motives to do anything with anybody outside of themselves or outside of being European, particularly.
Correct.
And definitely us.
All of a sudden they love the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the reason the Congo is upside down. The Europeans, the Jew, the Englishmen, they're the reason this country, with the fake borders that were imposed on this country, this is the reason why the country has had so much turmoil, and still will until they remove the names of the European streets. So they remove the European monetary system. So they stop going to the, and that's why Robert Oshie, Burkina Faso looks so beautiful to me. We don't want your money. We don't want your aid. We just want you to leave us alone and let us grow.
That's a shame.
And reveal the superpower that we already are. Mm. You are the superpower. If you're so messed up, why do you keep coming in? Why do you fly halfway around the world to get to Africa if Africa is such a shithole country? Excuse me for cussing.
And then you
sit here and act like Haiti that doesn't exist anymore. You don't even see that in the news. Then it's being run by gangs. Well, it was another gang over there running it. It was called the Englishmen. It was called the European. That was a gang.
Yeah, the French.
So my point is, Bob Ocean, they're trying to guide the narrative, but I truly believe that the internet is the Trump card. The internet shows things in real time. And by doing that, you don't have to wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month before the Pony Express guy gets to you and tells you what happened on the other side of the country. It's instant. Everything's in real time right now. We can see it. So
yes, it is.
I think that's a game changer because I'm telling you that the people that we live amongst are trying to figure out better ways to kill you. I truly believe that. You said that one time and it really resonated with me because if you're not trying to kill me, why do you have Northrop Grumman putting together bunker buster bombs, putting together stealth airplanes and all these types of things? And who are you going to kill? What are you building these for? Where are you going to use them at? And you know, everybody knows, and they won't talk about it, that Israel has nuclear capability.
Oh, of course.
They know that.
Oh, of course.
And they won't. They won't sign a proliferation agreement. Everybody knows that. But no, they're not a game, a team player. They're not trying to seek peace.
The whole thing is that all these Western countries, they want to have bombs. They don't want other countries to have anything. So, therefore, the threat of blowing your ass up is always imminent. And so, therefore, I can pretty much dictate to you or pretty much dictate or plan your movement or non-movement, depending upon the situation. Because it's just like somebody sent me this when, once again, Israel and America, Theodore Herzl at the turn of the last century proposed this, who was an atheist, but also understood that European Jewish people have the opportunity to latch on to a power, United States and Europe, who are steeped in white supremacy, to take land of other people and have for their own. And then once they started to formulate, they recognized as well from a theological standpoint, this Bible, this Christianity was also tied to them. So, for the European Jews, this was a perfect match. Here we have the strength of the United States, which of course the United States, nothing never happened to them. There was never a battle on the soil of the United States, but they fought in other areas around the world and bombed other areas around the world. Nobody has done more bombing in the world than the United States. But yet they said, no, they can't have a bomb because of the threat of nuclear exchange in the world. So United States is to be trusted. Yeah, right. So here's the thing with Israel and the United States. Mm-hmm. Israel killed JFK, some believe that, to get nukes, not Iran. Israel stole several hundred pounds of highly enriched uranium from the United States, not Iran. Israel stole other nuclear secrets and components from the United States to build their bombs. Iran didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Israel refused to sign the nuclear, as you mentioned earlier, the non-proliferation treaty. Iran signed it. Israel won't submit to nuclear inspections. Iran does. Israel violated the atomic theory test ban treaty, not Iran. Israel holds the world hostage with Samson option nuclear blackmail. I'm not sure what Samson option is, the Samson option nuclear, but Iran doesn't. Israel controls our politicians through the Israel lobby and the Epstein-style blackmail, not Iran. Israel controls our online speech through the ADL, the SPLC, and their infiltration of big tech, not Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Israel dominates. Don't care. This is a funny thing where Nasser, the former president of Egypt, what he said. He said, I ain't feeling these cats because they left here. They were melanated. They were dark. And they left here, but they came back white. I ain't feeling these cats, man. But that was because why? That's because they chose to go with with Judaism as opposed to Islam and Christianity back in the 10th century, 900s. And they could manipulate that. There was no control for them to outside of them to do that, because the Ethiopians, that wasn't happening. Who are the first of the Jewish people, the Fausa Jews? There's three kinds of Jews, maybe more, but three dominant Jews: the Fausas, Sephardic and the Ashkenazi. The Fausas are the Ethiopian Jews in Africa, in the eastern part of Africa. The Sephardic Jews,
the oldest,
right, are the ones in the North Africa, and those are also the Jews that went into, along with the Moors, into Spain, okay,
mm-hmm.
around 711, and stayed there for, 700 years until 1492, you know? And so when they were kicked out of Europe in 1492, along with the Moors, the Sephardic Jews. But it's the Ashkenazi Jews, the late converts to Judaism, who dominate and control Judaism. These are the Caucasians. These are the Yiddish. These are the ones who the Hasidics. They dominate and control Judaism to this day. And they are the ones who are taking the land. And that's why, that's why they don't do DNA tests, because they're not Jews, you know. What was that? But there was a line that says they call themselves Jewish. They are not Jews. They are the fathers of they that know them, and they're from the synagogue of Satan. They are from the synagogue of Satan. That's deep, ain't it? Yeah. But that's who these people are.
Baba Oshie, you bring up so many points, but when you say that they're still fighting with bombs and guns, well, what the bombs and guns have not been able to do for these people is to end the fighting. They've been dropping bombs for ever since I've been born. The United States has been dropping bombs on people, and the United States will never admit that they have not won a war and they have not sustained peace around the world. And that's what they were trying to do at one point. We're going to bring democracy to everybody. But the democracy that they were bringing was the one that is slanted. And what I mean by that, the only one who benefits from the democracy that they bring is the United States. But the benefits that the United States gets are just material benefits. Mm-hmm. Because the minds of the people have not bought into, it has not bought into this concept. And that's why you get people like Paul that calls in. And I'm like, wow, Paul, you in England, man. Y'all got food and money and y'all doing all right. No, but the mind is, when your mind is corrupt, mm-hmm. it corrupts your offspring's mind. See, Jews think about their children's children's children. We've been taught to think about today. We've been taught, and we're still being taught by the Caucasian. Mm-hmm. And that every time you look at a television show, every time you drive down the street and see a billboard, every time you pick up a newspaper, you're seeing the Caucasian's narrative. If it's not the narrative that the Caucasian wants you to see, and I call him the Rubu Caucasian, he distracts you. Because Bob Oshie, I'm watching the draft. And I'm watching these boys get up and become millionaires. Become millionaires. They're becoming, mm-hmm. they're going to make 100 times more money than they will ever need. I'm watching these, and they're cheering and jumping up and down. And it reminded me of The Price is Right. It did. Because you still have people doing backflips for getting this money. Oh, I got this money. Everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, bro, let me tell you something. The God that I serve, the Most High, is driving this train that we're on. We think that God is so amazing to give you the impression that you have free will, but free will to do what? Because the reality is, I know it sounds a little weird. The reality is you can't control when you're going to leave here or when you were going to come here. I said that, I thought of the brother you told me. Was it you that told me about the brother from the Whispers?
Yeah.
Which one was it?
Yeah, Scotty.
Walter.
Walter. I'm gonna do a little something for him in a little bit here. Good.
I'm glad of that. Yeah. I'm glad of that.
Yes, it was.
Because he's gone. Mm-hmm. Here today, gone today.
Right.
So if you're, and like you say in the beginning of the show, if it's something you're going to do, Damn it, do it. If it's something you want to say, tell a brother that you love him. Tell him.
Please.
Oh, I'll give him a call tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow, yeah, just say it, man, and do it. If you guys are going to go somewhere, go.
Mm-hmm.
Get on what you got to get on and go, or work towards doing it. But the mind, what these Caucasians want is your mind. Trump just cut the funding for Planned Parenthood.
Mm.
Okay? And I'm not saying, I won't be surprised if Baptist preachers don't jump up and start marching. Mm. Because they support abortion. Most black people are killed through abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a very touchy subject to some people. But I don't understand the contradiction of the Christian. He says, thou shalt not kill. But yet, they have these abortions. I can't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. But I do have something to do with someone getting pregnant.
That's right.
Let's be clear.
You have equal responsibility of someone getting pregnant, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. That is, you're absolutely correct. And in this country, my equal responsibility is to pay child support. So my point is, the United States, I mean, the people that are in office now, what they call Christian nationals, so that's who it is. Mm-hmm. They're Christian nationals. Trump's a Christian national, whether he knows it or not. And they have an agenda. And the agenda is becoming so clear. And all the other party, which is the other wing of the same bird, they on the same street, just in different lanes.
Mm-hmm.
All they're thinking about is, oh man, we get back in power, we're gonna put it back the way it's supposed to be, the way it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Was the way before, was that such a great thing for American Africans? Were we really excelling in this mindset of integration? Because that's what it comes down to, Baba Oshi. You either are an integrationist or you're not. Do you want to live with these? And you know, one of our callers calls in and calls us the battered wife syndrome. No matter what they do, we're going to sing a song and we're going to march about it and we're going to get out on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you say you will do that to Arugu, Arugu still wants to fight you.
Yeah.
You said, I am docile. I don't want to fight you.
Right.
Martin Luther King didn't have a gun. He marched. And spoke, and they shot him in his head in broad daylight.
Call him the most dangerous person in America, J. Edgar Hoover said.
He didn't have a gun permit. He didn't have a gun. So if he didn't have a gun, and he's the most dangerous person in the world, what is someone who controls the nuclear bomb? They must be dangerous. They control the military, that they wouldn't go in. I'm talking about a military that they didn't go because they had bone spurs. You know, their feet was hurt. My feet... Come on now. Yeah. But that's a distraction, Baba. They want us to look at Trump. I don't see Trump. I see Rubio. I don't see Trump. I see the people. I didn't see Biden. I saw Blinken. Mm. He was the one over there lying. Afrikaans. What the hell is Afrikaans? What is the Afrikaans? I don't see. And my thing is, if you're going to play fair, then why don't you have military bases in the United States the way you have in those countries? You know, and if that country doesn't have a military, why don't you help them get one so they can defend themselves? But you want people to be dependent on you so that your ideology can prevail in their country and you can build the roads so you can take all their minerals out the back door. Because mm-hmm. that's what this is about.
Oh, yeah.
This is about uranium.
Right.
This is about bauxite. This is about, come on. They're taking the minerals. They're taking the resources. Because Israel don't have no diamond mines. And the Jews said, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
This does not even make sense. As you look at thousands of years.
That's their main import and main export since its creation.
That's correct.
Since its creation in 1947. How's that connected? South Africa. Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
In South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And of course, it's still that way today because why? Caucasians still control South Africa. I don't give a damn how many dark faces you have in high places. But if you are in control of the money and then you are in control of the military, you in control. You know?
That's right.
And that's what they are. They're in control to such degree that they still have cities or towns within South Africa that are sundown
all
towns.
White.
All white. All white. Now your African ass can come over there and do some yard work and clean up the house, but you better be out by sundown in your own country, in your own land. And these people have territorialized themselves off. They have electricity, wind, they have water, they have all the necessities that they need. They're growing stuff. I mean, just right. You know, these are the Dutch. These are the folks from Holland, from the windmill people. These are the Dutch.
That's
the
right.
Dutch and Germans and Dutch, Germans, and British dominate, because that's what the Boer Wars were fought about. They weren't fought against
the Zulu. Correct.
They were fought against the British and the Dutch. So anyway, man, this is some crazy stuff, man. It really is. And our problem is that we are so tied to this situation that we're in here that we don't understand the real thing for us to do is to let it go. This will never be right for us as African people. Some of us will do well. There, just like even at this very moment, there are some billionaires. There are some folks with serious money. They may have some influence, but they ain't running nothing either. In fact, if they get out of pocket, they'll do what they did to Diddy. They'll do what they did to all these people that they want to, you know, R. Kelly, whatever. You know, they'll put your ass out there and then just snatch the rug right from under you. And that's because it's theirs. Because it is theirs. It's theirs, not ours. We don't control anything. We don't control anything. And at the turn of last century, when we were trying to control something, because we understood that it was very difficult for us to be a part of this stuff, because they were so racist, they were so mean-spirited, they were so ugly, you know. But then it was really that way when they understood that, hey, okay, look what they got. Look what they got in Rosewood. Man, they got stuff better than we do. Vamp on them. Burn them down. Take their stuff. Kill them. Run them out. They did such a thing in Rosewood. They wiped Rosewood off the map in Florida. They just took it off the map. You couldn't even find it. Look at Tulsa. Black Wall Street. Those brothers and sisters are part of the Trail of Tears. Part of the Trail of Tears coming out of southeast and portion of this country. Going along that route to Oklahoma. The Caucasians didn't know oil would be struck in Oklahoma. But then it was. And even some of us were able to take advantage of it. There was a young girl who was very rich because of the land that was given to her. And it struck oil. And so then now, here we're doing good. And many brothers and sisters started to come to Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know? Mm-hmm. And we were doing exceedingly well. And of course, all they need was a spark. And that usual spark is some African person, American African person, accosts a Caucasian woman. And once that happened, once that woman's womanhood was violated, oh, it's on. Somebody, y'all got to pay. And y'all going to pay dearly. That happened, and they destroyed. They killed with 300, and they destroyed. Mm. That whole thing. I've been there. I've seen it. You know? And so, but there are others. There's Elaine, Arkansas. There were so many others. You know, at the turn of the last century, the red hot summer of 1917, all throughout Chicago, St. Louis, so many places. You know? What they did in California, in LA area, you know, mm-hmm. where they poisoned the water. There was a settlement there, and they poisoned the water. You know, these are some evil, mean-spirited people with their so-called Christ-like loving selves. You know?
Christ-like, okay.
Yeah.
By the way, when I listen to you speak and you talk about you went there, it reminds me of when I went to the Gambia in Senegal. I went there, and it's a whole different feeling you get when you're walking on that sacred land that you know has been soaked in the blood of our people. Because you were able to kill an American African, and you knew nothing was going to happen. I told you really quickly, I saw a movie, I'm going to stop after this, I saw a movie the other day with Edgar S.S. Hubbard, he was a lawyer, some Johnny Cochran type thing. The police had killed some black man, beat him to death, and it was on film. And he asked the white man, the police officer, on the stand, why did you kill the black man? Because he was playing rap music, and they just had a court case that went against the police officer. He said, why did you kill him? He said, I don't know. He kept asking him, why did you kill that black man? And you know what he eventually said? He said, because I could. Mm. And that was so deep to me, Baba Oshie,
yeah.
Because that's the attitude that white people have about American Africans. Because
there is no respect.
Ain't nothing gonna happen to me.
Because there's no respect for African life. You know?
None. It's easy to kill a dog that you think has rabies as opposed to a dog that you think is completely healthy. So if I label you American Africans as savages, I won't feel too bad when I kill you and your children. You know, but soon as you need some help, because American Africans has fought in every war this country has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Africans in the homeland, in Africa, were fighting. They were fighting in World War II. We have no problem with fighting for our oppressor with the hope. And hope.
Right.
Or you're going to set y'all free. Why are you setting me? You should never have me enslaved. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm going to set you free. So no, Baba, you're absolutely correct. As soon as these people see us as a people moving in lockstep, like you said, anybody who can, what did that homosexual say? The FBI, they're looking for a messiah. We can't let them rally behind nobody because that will be the end of us. And you're asking, the end of you is already done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Baba Oshie, Africa has risen. It's not rising, it has risen.
That's right.
The mind, they're fighting Togo right now. This saw this on the Togo is fighting. And Togo has a path to the water.
Mm-hmm.
Togo,
the southern part of Togo is right there in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
that's correct. So when they join the Sahel, that means that now Burkina Faso has a direct path to the sea,
mm-hmm.
and by having a path, because they're landlocked, so having a path to the sea gives you trade ability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was listening to a cat talk about how the United States is so far behind other countries. And China the United States owes China so much money the United States will never ever be on level ground with Chinese. And they have an electric car there that is so much superior to this Tesla foolishness that we have here. But they put 100% tariff on the car so that it doesn't come. If you pay, it's $30,000, but yeah, by the time it gets here, it'll be $60,000, and then it's going to be a little more than that. So that's why you don't see that electric car here. You know, so my point is, these Caucasians are doing things. They just had a Supreme Court ruling, 6-3, to curb the judge's power to block Trump's orders nationwide. Did you hear what I just said, Bobo?
Mm-hmm.
To curb his power, the judge's power. So that means they're telling the judges, y'all can't rule against
Trump. That's right.
Trump is... He's helping you. Don't you understand he's helping you?
Hmm.
And with the food sitting on the dock from the that they were going to give the people for HIV and all this type of foolishness, you're doing things without thinking it all the way through. I mean, you can tell by the way he speaks. He does. He has no idea. He thinks this is a game show. But people are dying, man.
Yeah,
no, he does. People
and
are dying.
And more so, too, in the immediate and distant future, people will be dying. This country will be dying.
In a country that is in a decline, this country is in a decline. The dollar is declining. Mm-hmm. The quality of life is declining. The rest of the world is moving forward. Mm-hmm. The rest of the world... they're in turmoil only because the hand of the United States and England and France, although their hands are moving things in the background. But eventually, Baba Oshie, what goes around comes around. I do believe Africa has risen. I believe that Africa is making moves down and putting things in place where they're separating themselves from this, the people that I call the battered wife syndrome, yeah. like the brother says who called. Yeah. We keep going back. Eventually, we're going to start to teach our children to move to the motherland.
Right.
We should have them in schools where we should, like everybody else sends money to Mexico and the Mexicans, all that, sending money home. You know, we need to send money home. We need to have a connection to sure. Africa. We need sure. to promote that with our children's children. Because if we stay here with these evil Caucasians, we're going to be consumed by them. Because we will become them. Think about it, Baba Oshi. We wear their hair, we wear their clothes, and we speak English, and we ain't never been to England.
Well, I say
so. Eventually, we're going to be consumed. Our children are sounding stupid. I'm at the bowling alley, and they're playing music, and the N-word's in the music. And I had to go up to the cat and say, look, man, I really don't want to hear this N-word music.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, no problem. That's only because I said something. Mm-hmm. You know, it ain't but about seven blacks in here, but I said something, and you got to call these people. You got to say, look, I don't appreciate that. Unless we're going to hear some B-words for the Jew women, then we're not going to use no N-words for black people. Because that's not what we are. That's not cute. That's not for, oh, we're not like them. I heard that song. I heard it too. But they didn't put the N-word on the TV. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have played the song at all. But, you know, and that's very important because the people like me I'm red. I have a strong mind. I know my history somewhat. But the people who don't know their history,
right?
People who don't understand how we got to this N-word, how we got to this B's for our women, how we got to this level of disrespect. And you said it earlier. Discipline your children. I didn't say fight them. I said discipline.
Right.
No. And it's going to.
Right. We ain't talking about beating them to death. We know we're talking about talking to them, showing them models, using parables, any way that you can to help and encourage them to listen, to read, to understand, to be a person that is out. You can still play some video game, but that shit needs to be, you know, contained or curbed because they can't do that every day. The bottom line is that we need to structure our people, particularly our youth, so that they can want to know who they are. So they can want to know who they are and where they come from and what is their future in the world. This society, now, because it perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, the individual person feels, well, I ain't worried about all those others. I'm going to get mine because I'm me, you know. Not understanding that because you, as an African, they want your ass. And they want to imprison your ass. And more than likely, later on, they want to kill your ass. Because if it's not going to be good for them, it sure in hell ain't going to be good for you. Understand
you
that. Understand that.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo. So. No, you're absolutely correct. And Caucasians only do things that help.
Right.
Caucasians help perpetuate their legacy.
Exactly. Benefit them.
And we as a people are, and you know what, I don't like talking about what the problem is. We all know what the problem is. I watched the draft, the NBA draft part of it, and all these black boys jumped up with these old face white girls on their arm. I said,
A lot of them were their mamas. Yeah, because they daddy.
You ain't never lied.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Their mama's jumping to these white folks. I'm like, what is going on? Because, and like the Jew says, and the European, the children's children are going to be affected. And that's what happens when you marry an old fay, and then you have children, and that child's going to marry a white person, and then the next thing you know, your race has been diluted. You're talking, you look black, you sound black, but your mind is white.
Exactly.
Come on now. And you tend to try to play that to your advantage, i.e. Kamala. Mm-hmm. She was black when she needed to be at Howard, but then when she went home, she slept white because she was married to a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So, and look, man, be what you want. Do what you want, but don't expect me to sit here and clap for you when you're destroying our people. because that's what you're doing. Other ethnic groups turn inward. You don't see no whole lot of Asians running around here trying to marry out of their race. You don't see the Irish and all these other ethnicities breaking their neck to get to these white folks or whatever. But we, as a people, we tend, and when you talk like this, people tend to get upset because you're going to make Massa mad. I could give a damn about Massa. I really could. I could give a damn about these Arugu. Yeah. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't listen. Because, see, I don't get a choice not to listen to you. Right. I'm looking at this television right now, and it's nothing but white folks on TV.
Right.
And that's not looking at a commercial. I can look at a commercial, and I can see the black guy with the white family. Oh, I can see that. That's a commercial, because that's what they're pushing, integration. But I got to watch Trump's whole cabinet is white, except for the guy from HUD. And if you close your eyes from the thing coming out of his mouth, you would think he's white, too. And they have no problem. See, Biology, why is it? And I'm going to ask you this. Why is it that we, you and myself, and others of like mind can see this, but then there are other black people who will fight you for talking like this? Then why are we so...
Well, because America is very good at deception. America is very good at tricknology. America gives itself an impression about what it is and what it could be and what it should be. And that's been that way with Europeans when they first came here, with their whole idea of manifest destiny and the image of them going across the land, you know, not the image, not the real image of them killing people, not the real image of killing all the buffalo so the indigenous people wouldn't have food. There's a picture of some cracker sitting on top a mountain of bones, buffalo bones, killing them all so that they can eliminate the one of the food ingredients people for indigenous people.
And he took a picture?
Oh, yeah.
He took a picture of it?
Yes, they're arrogant.
That's past arrogant.
You know?
That's demonic.
Yeah. And so this is how these people are. And so the bottom line is that they don't give a damn. They don't care about what you do. They believe that their God and their righteous indignation allows them to do whatever the hell they want to do, wherever they are. And wherever these people have gone, they have been brought destruction. They have brought destruction. So let me take a break so we can come back from the break. We can talk more about this. I want to
do
a little tribute to the to the Whispers. Give a little history here.
Yeah, man.
It's my group, man. I tell you.
That one kind of got me a little bit. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
But then you never know people's medical history.
No doubt. Well, you know, they have been losing members for a number of years. They started out, of course, in L.A. You know, they were both Scotty and Wallace and Walter Scott. Wallace is Scotty. Scotty Scott. You know, they're identical twins, and they were from Texas.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, they were born in Texas, and they moved to L.A.
Because they came out to L.A.
Oh, yeah.
They love them out here.
They formed in 1963 in Watts, and with the original members were the twins, Wallace and Walter Scott. Wallace is Scotty, so when I say Scotty, I mean Wallace. Along with Gordy Harmon, and Marcus Hudson, and Nicholas Caldwell. Those are the five brothers. Those are the original. Gordy Harmon had an accident, and so his voice was restricted, and that's when they brought in Lavelle DeGree, the tall brother, who's the only one. Him and Wallace, Scotty, are the only two left now. And when got sick.
Oh yeah,
when, I mean, right, right, right. When Marcus Hudson got sick, And they said, well, because those five of them said, we won't replace you. So when he got sick,
wow.
Is that
the guy that did the choreography? Is that the guy that did the dance moves?
No. That's Nicholas. Okay. That's the brother who was the choreographer.
The bearded guy.
Exactly. That's the brother with the beard. Marcus was a light-skinned brother, part of the background, you know, and he got cancer.
Okay.
He got cancer, and then, of course, Nicholas, he succumbed to illness as well. And then there were just three of them, Walter and Scotty, along with Lavelle Degree. And they kind of performed as a trio, you know, for a bit. But I tell you, there was a dynamic group. And,
you know, dynamic was the word.
Yeah, just great music. Awesome. Just great music. They were inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame in 2014.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They were...
And their music transcended. When music changed, when rap came and disco came, the whistles were right there.
Always.
Steady.
Always. Rock steady. I'm going to play that then. I'm going to play that, Herb.
They did make a song called Rock Steady.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, founding members, he died, as I said, Gordy Harmon. Okay. He died in 2023 at the age of 79, but he had an injury that prevented him from continuing to perform. And Walter died yesterday.
Okay.
At 81. Yeah. At 81 years old. And Nicholas died in 2016 at the age of 71. He's the one who was the choreographer of the Whispers.
Oh, yeah. And, he wrote Devo Chocolate Girl, which was an excellent song. And
I tell you, it's interesting for me. I've always been into groups. Of course, the main two groups way back when I was a kid, of course, was the Temptations and the Impressions. There were other groups, but they didn't have the notoriety. And of course, Caucasian stations did crossover, and they would play Temptations and they would play some Impressions. They didn't play too much of the other groups. So, but then of course, in the mid '60s, black radio started happening, and all these kinds of groups started happening. Because I love Bloodstone, you know. Ray Goodman and Brown. I love these groups. Yeah. Love these groups, man.
Come on, the Moments, the Soft Tones. We could keep naming the groups that could sing.
Stylistics.
These are stylistic. These guys can harmonize. Yeah. I mean, they understood singing, and that's why they were able to laugh. And they could sing.
And my favorite group of all time was the Dramatics. Because the Dramatics were out of Detroit, too. But the Dramatics couldn't get into Motown because you had the Temps there already and you had Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, you know. So the Dramatics signed with Records down south, and you know, Stack Records. They sold this. They signed with Stack Records Records out of Memphis, and of course
Isaac Hayes, Rufus Thomas. Yep. I could keep going.
Yep.
But the part that gets really quickly before you go to the song is that we're looking at the talent, which is beautiful, and the songs are good, and they're making you feel good. But the business of show is where the Jew and the Caucasian they had the distribution. They were the ones that gave you the record deals. And they were the ones that had the cash because they had access to capital because we as a people will not collectively put our money together because we're taught not to trust each other.
Exactly.
We can't trust each other. Mm-hmm. And then when you weaponize our religion against us, then it all gets convoluted because like Malcolm said, leave your religion at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Come in there as a human being. What race are we talking about? The human race.
Yep.
But you can't do that because there's so many distractions that keep us from economically coming together. But we got the talent. Wasn't the issue for me. From the Manhattan to the Ray Goodman and Brown to the Dramatics. We can keep going.
I swear.
Yeah. So my point is, I want the young people to understand that it's about the show business, but it's also about the business of show. It's all about, I'm going to get me a Jew lawyer so he can count my money. You can get a black lawyer to count
your
money.
That's
don't fall into that bullshit. Yeah. I got to get a Jew. Why? Who told you that? Mm-hmm. Who told you that? Because from what I understand, the sharpest lawyer I ever seen was a Johnny Cochran, and I don't think he was a Jew. I don't think Thurgood Marshall wasn't a Jew, but Thurgood Marshall had his down. He had his shortcomings. When I looked at his mm-hmm. history, he had some shortcomings. Sure. But that's all right, because we as a people are still here, Baba Oshie. We mm-hmm. don't quit. We don't quit. I'm telling you, we're like a bad penny. Every time they throw us away, we turn around and come back. But you know, they're going to throw us one day, and we're going to keep going to Africa. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be messed up. Oh. Why y'all ain't?
To me, I look at it like this, brother Irv. Tomorrow we gonna be gone. We out of here. All right, dear brother.
Oh, dude. Play okay. a song, brother. Let's see what all we right. got from Whistler.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Well, I think we're going to be good. You're going to...
I begin to touch, but you wouldn't let it.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tanger.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Mighty Whispers. Rock steady. From 1987. And of course, seems like I gotta do wrong for they notice me from 1970. And if you go to YouTube, of course, going to YouTube, you can find anything, particularly in the entertainment area. And look up the Whispers and you can catch that song. That song, it was on Soul Train in 1970 with the Whispers. It's, you know, it's hard to look at Wallace and Walter with no mustache, different kind of hairdo. But yeah, seems like I got to do wrong before they noticed me. Yeah. The first song that I had remembered about the Whispers, first song I remember about the Whispers, I was at this bar and I wasn't supposed to be in there. I was young, but it was a bar I had a chance to hang out in. And nice club, plenty of women, everything like that. Yeah. Was I Only Meant to Wet My Feet. That's one of my favorite songs by the Whispers. Only Meant to Wet My Feet. And but then this brother named Grady Wilkins, who was their band director, he made a song called Welcome Into My Dreams. And I was listening to this song a few times from Grady Wilkins, the band musical director. Oh man, it's a beautiful song. So if you get a chance to, family out there, once again, go to YouTube, go to the Whispers, Welcome Into My Dreams. And they were playing this song, and I loved it. Didn't hear it too often, you know, but I was a good friend of mine who went on to be with the Ancestors, good firefighter brother of mine. We worked together for many, many years. Brother Everett Crowcroft, he was working at Pottawatomie at the casino, and this casino had a nightclub, and they had the Whispers there, so I definitely wanted to hear them. So the brother got me in, and I'm going around, and I'm up in the balcony area, and they introduced Grady Wilkins, and I'm not sure what they're going, you know, what's happening. I wasn't hip that he, because I only heard the song done by Scotty and Walter, who are always the singers. Scotty and Walter, nobody really sung anything but them. And if you look at the Whispers, you had Scotty on the right, and you had Walter on the left. When you saw them performing, Scotty was on the right and Walter was on the left, and the three brothers in between, you know, then became two brothers after Marcus Hudson fell ill. And then they brought in, well, when Marcus Hudson fell ill, then he had Lavelle Degree and Nicholas Caldwell. And then Nicholas Caldwell fell ill. Then they just had the three of them perform. And now there's only two left. Yeah. But check out Welcome Into My Dreams. It's just a beautiful song. Let's get back to discussion, family. I got my co-host with me, Brother Irvin Lewis. You know. What's up, Brother Irvin?
Baba OG.
Yes, sir.
Baba OG. It's interesting. As we sit here and we watch these. And my father did that in his time. My dad lived to be 93 years old, God,
oh,
3 years ago.
Beautiful.
And he watched the Jackie Wilsons. He watched the Drifters. He dropped the Platters.
Yes.
He watched all of them
expire.
And we are at that point, that time of our life, where we're watching the OJs. As they pass away on the OJs, and it gets down to just a few members of the group. All the Temptations are gone except for one. Mm-hmm. I think Melvin is still there.
Right.
So we get these groups that we grew up with. And I remember Welcome Into My Dream in Baltimore. They were huge on those types of songs because we had the stylistics. They loved the stylistics. Yeah, mm-hmm. In Baltimore. So all those singing groups that could sing. And that's why... Yeah. When rap came, it was so hard for older people to embrace rap because mm-hmm. rap wasn't singing, and mm-hmm. because we have no African heritage in us that has been promoted. I mean, don't get me wrong, Africa's in me, but we weren't taught about griots and medicine. We told the medicine was voodoo, and we told if it ain't written down, it ain't real. That's not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really not true, Baba Oshi, because things are passed on from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. And that's done through the other Africans, what they call the American Indian. I call them Africans,
mm-hmm.
but they walked across the street. So they believed in one person would tell another. That's why they say when an elder dies, a library dies.
Yes, Yeah, because wisdom.
He necessarily doesn't, mm-hmm. Necessarily don't write it down. But, you know, when you start talking about welcome into my dream and stop, look, and listen, all these songs, man, just.
I tell you, you know, there's so many groups, you know, the Delphonics and so many groups that, you know, Blue Magic. Oh man, Blue Magic.
A lot of groups
that I really gravitated to had a member that was falsetto, like the Dramatics. The Dramatics had Ron Banks.
Yes.
You know, Blue Magic had Teddy Mills. You know, Stylistic had Russell Tompkins. You know, these cats that had a nice falsetto piece and then the harmonies with them.
Wow.
I just love them, man. I really do. I love them, and I just can't get enough, I tell you.
They sound like angels.
They
sound like an angel.
Yeah, man.
I mean, the angel that the white folks told me to in my mind. I ain't never heard an angel talk. I ain't never seen an angel. But my point is, they just sound so angelic to me. Like they would,
so smooth.
And their voice would actually calm you down. I am not lying. The reason I do truly believe the reason that the American Africans during the so-called civil rights movement was so nonviolent because they were singing. See, there's something about singing, which is a gift that some people can do and some people can't. You don't learn to sing. It's in you and it's born out of you.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you can study all day long about it.
Yes.
But some cats just...
Some people are blessed to have that ability and to do it without lessons or coaches or anything. It's just within
or
them.
Or effort.
Yeah.
So you ever met people, I don't mean to get off subject, but you ever meet people who when they talk, they sound like they're singing? Mm. When they speak to you, mm-hmm. it's like a song. And I've heard people like that, and they're extraordinary people. They're very... I couldn't save my life. That's why I had to get a job.
I know that's right. Well, you know, I can't sing either, but Ann likes my singing, so I gotta like it.
And that's all they care. As long as Ann like it, the hell with the rest
that's
of them.
Right.
If you can put Ann to sleep for singing, you do it, baby. Let me put you to sleep.
That's right.
I'm telling you, Baba Oshie, and I hope that the listening audience is listening. We're all about liberation, self-determination, sovereignty. We really are
about that. We're serious
about it. We also understand that we have to live in this world and one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I asked my dad, how did you get to be 93? He said, one day at a time, Irvin. Just mm-hmm. get through the day.
Yeah.
Tomorrow will take care of itself, but plan for tomorrow.
Yeah.
But live for today.
Because
I'm enjoying this moment right now that I could mm-hmm. be anywhere in the world right now. I'm talking to you on the internet, and people are listening to us. And I think we need to take a moment and enjoy the moment. Because mm-hmm. this is history.
Yeah.
In a few minutes, this will be over. It'll be something that we did. So that is very important that we realize that. Because go ahead.
Well, that's why, too, I think that when you have moments like this, that you should, you know, you have fun, enjoy yourself, you know, laugh and joke and so forth. That's cool. And it's a time and place for it. But also there are times to give information, time to be serious, time to let the people know what is at hand, how you perceive things, how you look at things based upon your understanding, based upon the things that you know of, that you read or that you've seen, because we need to move our people to that level of self-determination, to that level of independence, to that level of liberation, mm-hmm. to that level of sovereignty. That's what we need to move our people to. It is about being sovereign. Nobody will tell us what to do. Nobody will plan for us but us. Nobody will instruct but us. It's all about being sovereign. And that's what we have to move to. The European has done us wrong. You have to understand that. But some of our people, because over the time that now that we can dress this way or live there, have a job on a par with them and so forth. They mm-hmm. think that all is good because it's all good with them. But the reality is, look at our overall condition. You cannot look at our situation and say it's good being amongst these people. No, you cannot.
No.
Because it's all right with you. No. But hey, it ain't about you. It ain't about you. It's about us and our future and our children and their future. Mm-hmm. It is about us.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the history, as Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is the best qualifier to reward our research. Look at the history of Europeans. Look what they have done. Look how evil and the things that they have done. Once they entered into an area where other people are, they destroyed them. They mm-hmm. there are examples of real genocide. What happened to European mm-hmm. Jews was not no damn genocide. Okay? Was not. But there are examples of real genocide based upon what the Europeans have done and where they have gone. The Aqua Indians in the Caribbean, that's genocide. The island that mm-hmm. is being occupied by Haitians on the western part of the island and Dominicans on the eastern part of the island, that was all the Aqua. They were eliminated.
Mm.
The Tasmanian people, at least they call themselves, they didn't call themselves that, but they were eliminated by the Europeans, the British coming there calling themselves Australians. Eliminated. Total.
Mm.
They don't exist anymore. So I'm saying, you know, the fact of the matter is that our situation has to be independent of them. You know, I know for some of us, I don't want to live just only with us. You know what? I do.
Me too.
I do. Because I recognize the peace that I could have living with each other. But see, some of us, because we believe that we are a violent prone people because we act that way here, and we've been acting that way in other parts of the world because of what Europeans have done to us. When you talk about enslavement, when you talk about colonization, all of these evil things that have been befalling us, and then when you deny our humanity, when you deny us education, when you deny us the ability to work freely, and so all of these things are detriments to us. That's why I'm saying, you know, the Exodus did not happen in real life. That is not historical.
It is not.
No, it is not historic. It is not part of the history of the world. Go ahead.
That ain't nothing but the truth. The part that gets me is the mirror that black people hold up to Caucasians. I heard something in South Africa where they said, we're going to run these Caucasians into the sea. We're going to take our land without appropriating any money or anything for it. It's our land. You stole it from us.
Right.
And when we do that, this country acts as if, oh, you can't take land from somebody that already has it. You can't do that. You mean like dropping a bomb on a little country? Is that what you mean? You mean like carpet bombing Vietnam? You mean like going to Afghanistan for 20 years fighting these people, sure, but you didn't put it on TV, so it never happened? You mean sure. like... destroying us, like you just said, they exterminated a whole race of people, yes, damn near.
Yes, they
have. But when we stand up and say we want, in Africa, we want ours. Oh, you can't. You're using your money for terrorism. I can use my money for whatever I want. This is my money. Mm-hmm. This we made. This money ain't that right here. That's my prerogative. So don't tell me what. Don't tell Africa what Africa. You keep telling Iran what they're going to do. You keep, because you guys have a relationship, apparently. But you know, Africa doesn't want to have anything to do with you. The Sahel state said, no, we're kicking them all out. And we're going to choose who we want to partner with. I didn't say a master. I don't need another master. I've had masters. Now we're going to choose. And that's why you're having uprisings in Togo. Because they're seeing these people got schools. These people got hospitals. We're still sitting in the dark. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a 20-year leader who changed the Constitution so he can't be removed. And they are fighting that.
Yes.
So we're winning, Baba Oshie. Yeah, yes. And just, I mean, and the whole Nelson Mandela thing was a fraud. You know that was a fraud to me.
I hate that, but you're right, you know, because of how he was fighting the British and the Dutch and so forth early on. But, of course, for him to get out, he had to make some conditions, man. He had to acquiesce to some things, man. And
that's correct.
Yeah.
And he had no army. Yeah. He had no army, Bob Olson.
No.
How you a president if you ain't got no army? Look at Trump. Trump got an army. Mm-hmm. And he don't even go to Congress. He just bombs who he wants to bomb.
Yeah.
And we'll deal with the rest of it later.
Yeah.
So, no, Bob, you're absolutely correct. That was a fraud. And it has a feel-good moment. I'm glad he got out. I'm glad he died in jail. He stayed in jail so long, so the people that kept him in jail became his friend.
27 years.
That's amazing.
27 years.
27 years. And he went in because he wanted to kill these white. When he came, he went in wanting to kill them. He came out wanting to be friends and brothers with them. They broke him. And I probably would have been broke. When it took that long for me, 10 minutes, I was okay. But that's back when I didn't have the conviction that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand you can't be friends with Aruba.
No.
You either have to control these people or they're going to control you. There's no middle road. You need to, and you know, we talk about integration, and that's a big thing with me, Baba Oshi, because the whole separate but equal thing was a fraud. You know, it was a fraud. But the first part, I didn't have a problem with. The separate part, I didn't have a problem with that. But the equal part would never happen with these white folks. They're never going to be equal with you, ever. And that's why they have American Africans believing that all I have to do is marry a white girl and I just ended racism. No, you didn't. What you did was you gave all your wealth over to her family. That's what you did. Because the reality is women usually outlive men, and if they do, and when they do, they get to control the generational wealth that you created. And that's what this is about, Baba Oshi.
Right.
It's about generational wealth,
you
know, and our children. Because your kids, your grandkids are going to be fine. But if our people are not fine, then they can't rise any higher than the condition of their people.
Well,
because, Baba Oshi, why is it so normal that when you get pulled over by the police officer, I still get a little scared? Not scared, but...
Well, you know what? You're supposed to, and they want you to. Because they want that fear in you that when you see those lights on your ass and they pull you over and you now in your mind tracking the thing, did I make a wrong turn? Did I not use my flasher? Did I not signal? Is the light on my license plate back there? Is that out? What's going on? You know? And then, of course, as they approach you, you got to be respectful. You know? Yes, officer, da-da-da-da. Because anything can go wrong, and next thing you know, you're dead. You know?
Yeah. And you pay his salary.
Yeah.
You pay his salary.
Exactly. He works for you, but the mindset... The mindset of law enforcement today is just like, Irv, what you see going on in parts of this country, in many cities, with ICE. They snatching people. They all masked up.
Yeah.
And they snatching people, beating people down, throwing them in vans, taking them to wherever, holding people against. This society is lawless, man. And Trump just does whatever the hell he wants to do. He ain't asking Congress for a discussion on anything. He ain't asking them for a vote on anything. They're just going to do it. They're just going to do it, you know? And and all his minions and all the people that he has assigned and working with, they rubber stamping it, you know? This is a terrible time for justice, a terrible time for law and order, a terrible time for honesty and so forth. It's not happening. But you know what? That's really part of what America has been about any damn way. Is a facade.
I was waiting for you to say that.
That's what America has been about since its inception, you know? And so we just got to, you know, ride this out. And I ain't talking about no next administration. I don't give a damn about the next administration. I'm talking about...
No.
I'm talking about getting into our right minds and starting to pull our resources, coming together. We need to educate our children. We need to control our neighborhood. We need to do, the whole thing, and the whole idea is to put ourselves into a position to make that exodus. Because believe me, the brothers and sisters who are there, over there, they want us. Now you hear all that bullshit, and I said it like that about, well, you know, Africans, they don't like us. And you know what? We don't like them either. No, stop it. Just stop it.
Stop.
Please.
Stop.
You know? So.
Please stop. So you telling me these Caucasians here love you. The Africans don't like you, but these Caucasians love you.
Yeah, right.
And every time you go to court, you see it, because what a Caucasian does, especially with the system that we live in, it keeps you economically beneath him. If you're paying all these parking tickets, you got to pay higher insurance. You live in a food desert. Mm-hmm. You're ducking crimes, and that keeps you below him. Mm-hmm. Even though the Caucasian has all the things, and they leave their door open all night in the neighborhood, I know it. Because people who have a few dollars, they're not running down here robbing the liquor store. They half of them own the liquor store. Mm-hmm. But they're not. We're not teaching our children to own anything. We're teaching our children to go get a good job. And look, this is the dog whistle, Baba Oshie. When they say we're going to cut government jobs, you know, one out of every five government workers are American Africans. So they're talking about cutting black people's jobs. They're talking about getting rid of the middle class, because the middle class has a little bit of power because they have money. Mm-hmm. And the money enables you to have a voice, and you're not fighting. But as long as you ain't got no money, as long as you're going paycheck to paycheck, you don't have time for no sovereignty and mm-hmm. liberation. I got to feed. I got to eat. My kids got to eat. And I got 4 or 5 of them because, you know, I can have as many children as I want, whether I can take care of them or not. Mm-hmm. Because this is where Caucasians want you to be. They want you to be the hamstring. They want you to be loaded down with all these things that you believe that everybody else is. But see, the thing is, Bob Oshie, white folks have children, but they own a company. They got money to take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. They make more money than they spend. At one point, man, I get paid, man, shit, on Friday. By Monday, I was looking for the next. I'm waiting for my next check.
I know that's right. Had a good time. You had a good time on Friday night, huh?
Come on. Until I realized that I was enslaving myself economically. I wasn't, don't get me wrong, I can speak on my liberation and things, but when it comes to the money, ain't a damn thing funny. I understand when a black boy got that contract or the guy retires from these professional sports, they never say we're going to start a league. They never say we're going to buy a team. They always say I'm going to buy my mother a house. Your mama got a house, you go up in one. So you're going to get her a house, and then what? Get your mother a business. Get your mother some folk to work for her so she can manage them. The point I'm making is, if we stay with the mindset that white folks going to give us a job, that's exactly what we're going to get, a job. And how many jobs can you pass down to your grandchildren? How many jobs can you pass down to you? Nah, I worked at the Pride of Prophet Baba Oshie for 35 years. I did 4 years in the military. And I couldn't pass down jack. I couldn't.
Right.
They didn't even want me to keep my the turnout gear that I wore. They wanted me to turn that in. What you need this for? But so my point is, we as a people have to understand that the one thing that our children have to have is some type of skill. And I mean a tangible skill. Mm-hmm. A plumbing, an electrician, any something that they can. They don't have to be that. But have that in your back pocket. So when you get that degree in psychology and can't get a job, you can always get out here and start your plumbing company, because you're always going to need plumbers. You're always going to need an electrician. You're always going to need contractors to do things. So no, Baba, and that should be not ask the children to do it. You tell the children to do that. They may not like you now, but 20 years from now, when they're making this money and doing well and passing this thing on to someone else, they will thank you for that.
That's right.
Or you may not see the thanks. You may not see it, but that's all right. I don't need you to thank me now. You'll thank me that my father told me something, and I'm going to stop after this. He would say things, and he would say, you'll get it when you're 65. And I said, what you talking about, Daddy? 65 is a long way off. Well, I haven't seen 65 and passed it now, so I understand exactly what he said. Yeah. So the clarity is there. The clarity, you get the clarity. And I want to express this to the young people, if any of them are listening. You're going to get clarity. It may seem mumble-jumble right now, but white people ain't coming up with a new playbook. They're doing the same thing they did before. It's nothing new. They're trying to figure out better ways to what, Bob Oshie?
Kill you.
The part I like about when you speak, it is simple. You're not using $30 words. You're not saying things that you got to listen to connect. Kill you, I understand exactly what kill you means. That means they want to get rid of you. They want you to stop breathing. And they could care less. Because if you can sit here and watch this genocide going on TV, and you sit here and you shaking hands with the guy that's responsible for it, then I have no use for you or anybody that's following you. I have no use for that. And then you see Ibrahim Touré. Every time I see him, he's building something. He's giving people jobs. He's giving them houses. He's providing electricity, free school. I'm getting excited now because I'm passionate about this. And I'm passionate only because I understand the long-range impact of the things that these Caucasians are doing. They're destroying. They're trying their best to destroy Africa, to poison Africa. Mm-hmm. They're poisoning the water, poisoning the land. But the white folks in South Africa got this beautiful land, this beachfront property, and all this type of stuff. So, no, Baba, we as a people have come a long way. We have a long way to go. But I do believe that there's a light at the end of this tunnel.
Irv, I tell you, I appreciate that in you because you have kind of helped me with that. Because a lot of times I just go off and you say, hey, man, we're seeing it happen. And we are. We're seeing it in the Sahel. We're seeing it with Ibrahim Traore. We're seeing what other countries who are willing to come along, Ghana, Senegal, many of them, Togo, are signing up, even on East Africa, coming together because they finally recognize what they should have recognized a long, long time ago, that unity is strength. We shouldn't be about 54 different countries. That's bull. They're not sovereign because they're manipulated. Many of those countries have neo-colonialism steep in it. The dark-skinned man that's running it has been running it for 20, 30, 40, damn near 50 years, and the people are still suffering, you know? So no, we're talking about a unification, Africa being united, one Africa, Africa, you know? And so that goes beyond religion, family. That goes beyond religion. And we need to understand that it's not Christianity, it is not Islam, it is not Judaism, it's not even African spiritualism. It goes beyond that. The thought process is that we are African, we are one. Now, if spiritually you want to talk about other methods of Ifa or any other religion, whatever, fine. That's great. Especially if it helps you to be a better citizen. Helps you be a better man or woman to help our people. Fine. But the bottom line is that we are going to do what is necessary and vital for the existence of Africa to control its resources, more resources than any other. Hey, listen, Irv, this cracker has been plundering and stealing resources from Africa for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I seen a piece talking about gold. And all the gold. There's no gold in any of those places. There's no gold to be mined. Africa has it. So where they get the gold? They got it from Africa. Especially European countries. Especially Europe. Now the United States had some gold. You know, they had a little gold rush back in the 1800s. They had some gold. Yeah. But still, it is the gold that you see in Fort Knox and so forth from Africa. The gold you see in Europe and all throughout from Africa. And then these people are wealthy, but look how we look. Look how our situation is. Look how destitute we are. Look how sick we are. No, family, stop it. It must end yeah. now. It must end now.
That's it.
And we must come together to heal our land, to heal our people, especially mentally and spiritually, so we can move into the future as a people who are free, proud, and productive. And you can't say a damn thing to us. You can't say nothing.
That's it.
You know, so that's the road that we're going to be on. Let me get Brother Ted Lusk in here. Brother Lusk. Hey, Brother Lusk, how you doing?
Brother Lusk.
Hey, Baba Ocean. Hey, Brother Irv. Man, on and off, this has been one hell of a week for me. But today, I think it was the height of listening to the dynamics dialogue that you all had with each other. And I am just observing that on the outside looking in. It's just so interesting that what you all have said is, we know that this is needed. I think we really do.
I believe you. We do. We know it's necessary.
And at what point do we actually get up off of our seats and put that first step forward, to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just interesting. But I love the dialogue that you all have had in the period of time that I have been on and off. But thank you so very much for picking my call, as always, and still continuing the effort to stick with you guys.
I appreciate it.
Living and learning and loving the culture and loving Pan-Africanism.
Right on, brother. Ashe. Appreciate you so much, Brother Lewis. Thank you so much.
You have a great weekend, brother.
All right. Yeah, man. He was around when Dr. Rogers, I think he's first started listening to Dr. Rogers and then started listening to my program. And I really thank him for all these many years.
He's great. He's fantastic.
For sure. For all these many years, man. And all the other listeners, some who call in, some who don't. You know, I was surprised that what Brother Quaker would show me that if you go to Time for an Awakening, I do have listeners, the people that don't necessarily call in, but they listen, and I appreciate that because I think that there are some of us who want to hear what we have to say. They want to hear, you know, if it affirms for them their African-centered mindset is correct, you know, and that all the other madness that they be seeing and, you know, on television and movies and so forth, it ain't us. And so, you know, that, and I tell you, I think that's important. That's why, to me, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I try to come on this program at from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and do the best that I can to inform and enlighten our people, man, because it's necessary. That repetitiveness and that redundancy, one might say, is necessary. You got to hear it again and again, you know, because you're bombarded.
Right.
You're bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of your inability, your inferiority, or your lack thereof, you know, and putting you in a position where you feel that whatever this cracker has done or doing is justified. It's justified.
Right.
And of course that it is not, man. So, but yeah, Brother Irv, thank you once again, man. Our time is about to be up. You know, any last words, dear brother?
Brother, just the last words is that I appreciate you having me on here and giving me the opportunity to let people hear. So I know we were all over the place, but we always come back to the same place, which is Mother Africa.
That's right.
Our homeland.
Coming back home.
We always come back home, and we're going home.
Yeah.
If we're not there in physical, we're there in spirit. But Brother Oshie, thank you so much for
that. Thank you, Brother Irv.
I say.
Monday, which is the 30th, the last day of this month. And this month, of course, is African and American African Music Month. And, of course, I made mention of, you know, the Whispers and other groups and so forth. But so this Monday, me and Brother Muhammad Abdullah, will be chopping it up about the music that we, you know, in its beginning and the influences that it's had on us as a people. So once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure as hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself and you be safe. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. All right, family. Peace.